Good day, everybody. I'm Jean-Claude Provost from Montreal, Canada, and welcome to Main Menu's automation feature. I'm not used to this, so you'll have to bear with me. This thing will be quite informal. I'm going to try and explain to you the home automation system that I have. I basically built it from scratch. There is software involved. There is hardware involved. For some of the wiring / soldering contraptions, I had to have a sighted friend of mine assist me. But most of it, that is all the software aspect, and believe me, there is quite a significant software aspect to that. And, well, I did it all myself. There are accessibility issues, but most of them, if not all of them, I was able to overcome. Depending on to what extent you want to take this, it may not be for the faint of heart. That is, you have to be quite familiar with your screen reader. You also have to be prepared to be frustrated as you learn some of those things. There are quite a few things involved, such as script writing. That's the easy part. Object-oriented programming, it's a little tougher. But once you get accustomed to the way it works, it can be done very easily. Actually, everything is accessible via the keyboard. And although the manuals or the help files with the products won't tell you that very specifically, but as you gain experience, you end up figuring out that, after all, it would have been much easier if someone had the intelligent idea to explain this in this way. Anyways, first of all, I want to explain to you how all this started. It started with my wife waking up one morning and saying, "I'm sick and tired of those wires." I had a sound system upstairs, of course, with speakers and a CD player and a tape recorder and a VCR, and then went downstairs, sort of with the same things. So my wife said, "Could you not get rid of all this? Like, you have a control center downstairs, you like wires, you like, you know, this machinery and whatnot. Can't you centralize all this?" And I said, "Well, yeah, maybe, I don't know." So I went on the net, started searching, and quickly lost myself in the broadness of this universe. So I tried to seek for advice, and, well, didn't get a lot of that, unfortunately. I ended up finding a little company, and the guy said, "You know," he says, "I'm just getting started in this business." And he said, "I don't mind selling you some stuff without taking a profit if you're going to share some of your experiences with me and whatnot." And I said, "Okay, yeah, I can do that." So I guess I could describe from a 30,000-foot view, I guess, what I have purchased. First of all, there is something called an Aegis. And Aegis is an alarm system, but a rather intelligent one. First of all, it can be controlled by a console or two consoles. The second console is optional. That console has a keypad and a few extra buttons. And it also has a speaker. So there is audio output. It has a script language that you can use, that you can program things with. It's not that flexible. However, on the other hand, there's a lot of things you can do with it. It also has two serial ports, so I guess you can begin to feel where I'm going with this. So it can receive and send characters through those serial ports. It can react to those characters. For example, it may receive ARM system, or just ARM, and it'll do what you tell it to do in the script, which is arm the alarm system. And then there's a bunch of parameters. So do you want to you know, what kind of delay, the exit delays and the entry delays, and all the standard stuff one would find when programming an alarm system. But the beauty of all this is all PC accessible. And it can easily be used by a screen reader. I use JAWS 402, yes, by the way. I'm absolutely unfamiliar with Window Eyes, so I'm sorry about that, but I think most of the things don't seem quite complicated to me in this CGIS environment, and I don't see why Window Eyes would have problems with those, because they're pretty standard Windows controls in most cases. So this alarm system also has a phone interface. And through that phone interface, you can control your alarm system either locally, so you can pick up any phone in the house, push the pound key, and this is what will happen.
Welcome to Aegis. Please choose 1, control, 2, security, 3, button, 4, all, 5, temperature, 6, status, 7, events, 8, message, 9, goodbye, star, cancel, repeat.
So, I'm going to push the 6 key for status, and let's hear what it says.
Status. Security. Mode. Is. Off. System. Okay. Outdoor. Temperature. Is. 19.5 degrees. Time. 23:21. Date. 5:19. Please choose.
Now, I'm
1,
going to push
control,
the status key
2,
again,
security,
and
3,
I'll try
4,
and agitate
5,
myself.
6, 7,
I'll wave my 7, arms 7, a bit, whatever,
8,
in order
message,
to trigger
9,
one of the alarm 5, system's infrared
star,
detector,
cancel,
and you will see what the system
repeat,
says if I succeed.
Status. Security. Mode. Is. Off. System. Okay. Outdoor. Temperature.
It didn't work.
19,
let me try it again.
Point,
I'll stand up
degrees,
this time.
Time,
to make certain I trigger the
22,
IR sensor.
Date, team, status, security, mode, is, off, zone, 4, motion, detector, basement, 1, not, ready, outdoor, temperature, is, 19,
okay.
Point,
now we've got it this time. So as you can see, because I moved, and because the infrared detector got triggered, it became not ready. As you know, that's the principle of an alarm system. It's kind of a binary thing. And so when you disturb it, the circuit becomes opened or closed, and it reacts accordingly. And in this case, for example, if the system had been armed, of course, detecting some movement in the basement would have caused the alarm to go off. All those things, again, your script can react to, and you could program that. When a specific zone is not ready, there's something you can do if you'd like. For example, I have a contact on my back door, and so when I open it, it plays a chime. And the system has 8 phrases, it calls it. Those are 2 seconds audio files that you can record through the phone interface. And so in my case, I recorded a chime. I actually took 2 phrases to record that chime to make it more beautiful. If we go deeper into this, maybe I can make you hear what it sounds like. And the other fun thing you can do with this is there is sort of a status screen. And when you look at that status screen onto your PC, it'll tell you everything that changes. So, for example, if someone walks upstairs and triggers one of the infrared detectors, the alarm system is off. But it doesn't prevent Aegis from becoming aware that a zone is suddenly not ready. And your PC will tell you that. So you can monitor someone's movements in the home, which is quite cool. And you can also send a command to that system via your PC. And if you remember, in the menus, there were quite a few options. We only listened to the status options. Actually, there's a unit options, and the unit options is because built into that system aside from being an alarm system, it's also an X10 transmitter. Now, X10, of course, is a means of controlling appliances, everything that can be connected to a wall outlet. It can control, that is, it could turn off, it could turn on. As far as lights are concerned, it can switch them on, switch them off, dim them. So that's yet another topic. So as you can see, X10 is a universe on its own. The alarm system is a universe on its own, I guess. And, of course, script writing requires experience. And because my intention right now is just to go through an overview, I'm not getting into those kinds of details for now. I guess if this installment should generate enough interest, perhaps we could dig in deeper in subsequent installments. But for now, this is the alarm system portion of my home automation system, and that's the least powerful component of this system. The most powerful component is made by a company called Crestron. Crestron Electronics, actually. And those guys are much deeper in home automation, and in a few seconds you'll see why. They have one topic that they really deal with in a wonderful fashion, and it's audio. For example, what they call a PAD 8. Now, PAD stands for Professional Audio Distribution, and 8 is because I've got 8 inputs and 8 outputs. So it's a matrix switch, basically. So my 8 output zones are downstairs, upstairs, outdoors, auxiliary. One of my amplifier I call auxiliary, and this sends to small speakers disseminated around the house to give automation messages. And I have a console input, so that goes into my mixing console. And then I have phone, and that goes to my phone music input, which is kind of a music on hold. Now, that's another topic altogether. I have a phone system called the Northstar DR5. I use it as an intercom system as well as a phone system. So it's basically like in small companies, right? So each room that I have a phone in has its own extension. And so, for example, here downstairs 21, kitchens 22, bedrooms 23, bathrooms 24, etc. And so the idea when I purchased this was a hands-free intercom. And it does a beautiful job. But then I digress. That's completely off topic. Again, this thing could be the subject of yet another installment. So back at the ranch, with the Crestron, as I say, you have a matrix switch. Now, I described my outputs. Now, let's talk about my inputs for a second, and you've guessed it. They're all audio components that I may want to listen in each of those rooms. My input number one is output from my console, my mixing console. My input number two is a satellite receiver. My input number three is another satellite receiver. And my input number four is a third satellite receiver, which is pointing to another satellite called Telstar 5. Again, another topic altogether. And then I have other inputs such as phones. And actually, in this demonstration, I'm using this matrix switch in order to make you hear what's coming from the phone line. So if we were to flowchart the wiring for this, my phone line comes through a phone interface, and it's not all that expensive, although when you open it and look what's inside, it's a ripoff. But then it works so well that it's worth the $50 US I paid for it. It has a little disadvantage, and as you heard, I guess, the tones are quite loud. And of course, if you, for example, were to hear a conversation between someone here in the house talking to someone else, well, you would hear that person louder, and that's too bad. And the reason for that, of course, is it does not include an AGC, or automatic gain controller. And I'm really thinking of perhaps trying to solve that problem one day. At any rate, And this little device, by the way, comes from Scotch Electronics. Scotch being spelled S-K-U-T-C-H. It's in the U.S. And basically what it contains is an RJ11 jack that plugs into the phone line and a 1/8 mono jack. That's all there is to it. And it's a little box, about, I don't know, 2 by 4 inches or so. And I plug this into my mixing console, and I have all the gain in the world. And the nice thing about this is it's what I call the passive device. That is, it does not load the line. It just sits there. And as soon as someone else opens the phone, here we go, you can hear it. And if the phone rings, you'll also hear it. But then, even though the device is connected on the line, it's not going to make it busy. The phone line doesn't know. So it's a passive device. It doesn't load it at all. So I digress again. Back at the Crestron, at this Pad 8, the Pad 8 really will allow you to say, okay, I want to listen to my CD player upstairs. I also want to listen to this downstairs. However, outside, my wife is there and she wants to listen to the satellite. And we can do all that. And worse than that, or should I say better than that, for each of those outputs, you have bass and treble control. And for each of the inputs, you have an input gain. And by the way, they say professional audio distribution, and believe me, to me anyways, it is quite professional. That is, the signal-to-noise ratio and the harmonic distortion is very low. It's a professional thing. It's not the kind of thing you'd add up to your sound system and say, oh man, this thing keeps hissing away. It is not doing that. It's very high quality. I was very surprised. It's quite expensive, unfortunately. But if you're not ready to buy this because of financial constraint, just wait till you can afford it. And believe me, it's worth it. I'm not saying there aren't other systems that could do those things. There may be, then there may not be. I'm not sure. Frankly, there are a lot of other companies that may do things that may be less expensive. It may not have all the features, whatever. But I'm just saying here that I guess if you want to jump into that automation bandwagon, Crestron, you can't make your decision until you look at their specs. Now, the pièce de résistance of my system is the Crestron controller. The Pad 8 cannot function on its own. That is, when you look at this Pad 8, it's quite boring. It's a box with a truckload of RCA jacks behind it and one connector, which is an RJ45 connector, and they call it a Cresnet connector. So Cresnet is really a way for the Crestron devices to talk to each other. So a Pad 8 on its own can't do anything. And by the way, each of the inputs have a loop-through connector. So if you, for example, connected your CD to one of your inputs, you can also use the input loop-through connector for this particular input and feed something else with it. So for example, you can feed another amplifier. I wonder why you'd want to do that. I certainly don't use those connectors, but they're there. And by the way, all this occurs, of course, at the preamp level. That is, I have to have separate amplifiers for each of those outputs. So I have an amplifier, because obviously speakers have to be connected to those amplifiers. Maybe you could use them with a headphone or whatnot, but each output have their separate amplifiers. So I have separate physical boxes for upstairs, for outdoors, for downstairs, for all the other outputs that I have. They have to have their separate amplifiers. Now, in order to control that Crestron Pad 8, you have to have a Crestron controller. And this is the pièce de résistance I was talking to you about. Again, the Crestron controller, when looking at it, pretty boring. A standard rack mount box with a bunch of connectors behind the box, and let me tell you what they are, and this will whet your appetite. There are two Cresnet connectors. One's an RJ11. This is how I connect my Pad 8 to it. There are 8 connectors for infrared output. That means that controller is able to send infrared signals. You can control your VCR, your satellite receiver, your TV, your CD player, whatever you have a remote control for, as long as the gizmo you want to control receives infrared, Crestron can send those IR pulses to it. And in order to do that, you have what they call IR flashers, which are small rectangular things with two LEDs on them, and they send IR commands. So, like any IR devices, it has to be in line of sight with the device you aim to control. For example, you could have a bunch of stuff downstairs that you want to control, yet you could have other things, such as your TV upstairs in your room, that you may want to control. And so you would have one for downstairs, one for upstairs. So there are 8 of those. Other than that, by the way, those connectors are really sexy connectors, actually. They're little screw connectors. First of all, you can take the connector out of the box by just pulling on the connector, and you'll have it in your hands. And there are small screws that you can unscrew and stick your wires underneath and then screw back in, and there goes your connection. So if you're a bit mechanically inclined, you should have no problem. It'll take a little getting used to. You may not have it for the first time. It may be something that will help you learn how to swear, but then you'll get used to the thing. And all this to say, you can do it on your own. Even if you're blind, I'm definitely doing that. You take the connector out of your, so it becomes kind of a terminal strip. You connect your wires, and then once you're ready, you push it back in its slot in the controller, and you're in business. So the other connectors that this controller has, you have 8 relays, and those relays are what they called real load relays. They're 1 amp relays. They can use, if I'm not mistaken, 0 to 24 volts. Don't quote me on that. But by the way, Crestron has the manual for all its products on its website. Most of it is PDF. www.crestron.com will get you there. And you'll be able to spend a couple of hours, I think. Look at all this stuff that's there. It's amazing. So those relays can be used, for example, that's what I use them here for so far. I use 4 of them. Bedroom speakers, bathroom speakers, living room speakers, and what's the other one? Well, that's it, I think. So I use 3. So, and that's, of course, independent from the audio matrix switch, the Pad 8 I was talking about earlier. On the headphone jack of my, I'll call it upstairs amplifier, although it's downstairs, because as my wife requested, everything is sitting in a cabinet. So in this Foxy cabinet, which is 5 foot tall, 4 foot wide, I've got everything. Amplifiers, my Crestron controller, equalizers, the Pad 8, the whole Marianne is right then and there. You should see the wire spaghetti behind this thing. It's amazing. I lost an arm the other day. Couldn't find it. It was just lost in the spaghetti of wiring behind all this. Anyways, actually what I did was I put this in a cabinet on wheels, and the cabinet is not closed. So if I want to go and play with the wires behind, I just pull it forward, and then I slip behind, and hope I can find my way out. So connected to the headphone jack of my upstairs amplifier are wireless headphones. So, for example, if it's 2 o'clock at night, I want to listen to something. I want to listen to music. I want to listen to whatever inputs I have. I could listen to a main menu because I have a wireless keyboard that I can take, much farther away than the original product was intended for. Normally, you can achieve 8 to 10 feet away from the PC, but I could go upstairs. I could go outside on the patio. And in order to do that, we just made kind of an antenna, which is a wire that kind of worms its way in the ceiling just about everywhere. And we found out that the presence of the wire, which is hooked up to the antenna, or it's almost a theoretical antenna on the little board that comes with the wireless keyboard, it works beautifully. But again, I digress. Back at the ranch. So if I want to listen to music at 2 in the morning, I certainly don't want the rest of the house to hear the living room speakers playing, right? So although my three relays, my living room speakers is off, but from an audio selection perspective, I tie my upstairs amplifier to, for example, my satellite receiver number one. But because the speakers are turned off with my relays, or I should say with my relay, the relay that's dedicated to that. So like basically, the wires, if we briefly look at that, it starts at the speaker output of the amplifier, and then it goes through this relay, and then it goes to the speakers. And by the way, if you're going to do that, use both wires, because if you don't, you will have peculiar results. And I've had a problem here where I have a subwoofer, and even though the speakers were turned off, the subwoofer would still receive some signal and produce some bass, and it was really weird. And I argued that one with my friend when he soldered those things for me. He said, no, just the plus will do. No, it won't. Yes, it will. So we did it his way, and well, turned out I was right. So you need to switch both wires. So you have your 8 connectors for your relays that you can use. You also have 8 other connectors that are even fancier. And those babies are digital analog input, digital output. With that, you can do, I guess, just about everything your wicked imagination can come up with. Because if you're going to use your digital input, well, obviously, right? It's there or it's not. It's 1 or it's 0. It's high or it's low. But with analog output, you can compare. And you can start saying, okay, do I have 6 volts? Do I have 10 volts? Do I have 6.75 volts? And whatnot. So on a smaller scale, if we start talking about millivolts or maybe microvolts, I've not experimented with that yet. But I imagine a meter, for example, that you could use those inputs and outputs in order to figure out the value that's on a meter. So you can have an analog to digital converter, and I'm going to get to that in a minute. But so it just gives you an idea, a very general idea of what is it you can do with Crestron. Now, what I forgot to tell you, and now you'll really smell the chicken, it's got 6 serial ports. So it can, for example, be, in my case, it can react or interact, I should say, with my alarm system. On my alarm system console, I can push buttons. Those buttons are scripted, that is, I said, if, and there are 64 buttons. I'm talking about the Aegis now. I haven't given you all the specs, but anyways. So if I push, say, number 38, and I tell my script, if button 38 is pushed, I want you to send volume up through the serial port number 2. Now guess what? Serial port number 2 of my Aegis, the alarm system, is connected to the Crestron's, say, serial 1 port. And when the Crestron controller receives that signal on COM port 1, it can do things. And there is a, and this one is not a script. This one is a full-fledged object-oriented programming language called Simple Windows. And Simple Windows stands for, I think, again, don't quote me, I think it stands for Symbolic Instruction, oh man, yeah, Symbolic Instruction Multiple Programs or whatever. And that Simple Windows is, and it can actually take 2 forms. There's Simple Windows and Simple Plus. Simple Plus is really a C-like programming language. So it's got functions, it's got just about everything you can expect from C. But It's adapted to Crestron. So it has, for example, and it's the same thing for Simple Windows, but Simple Windows really is kind of a graphical user interface driven thing, where Simple Plus is really a baby you could sit in front of with WordPad and you start coding away. And I'm not going to get much deeper into this as a first installment again. I don't want to digress too much, although I'm doing plenty of that. I'm sorry. I had so much fun and still have so much fun. I spent literally thousands of hours programming this thing and integrating it. And my wife wanted this little weirdness to occur. I wanted a lot of weirdnesses to occur. So there's room to grow. There's room to learn. Plenty of room to learn. And with Simple Windows, if you think at the connectors I was talking to you about, well, you need to handle those connectors. You need to be able to say, what is it that's going to have to happen so I can send a volume up command to the pad 8? Well, I could wait for a specific string on the serial port. And when I receive that string, I'm going to tell my pad 8 to turn the volume up, or turn the bass up, or the treble down for a specific output. And I could also tell it, I want you to turn this input gain up, which I normally don't do. I kind of set it, I preset it to, I think, 75% or 50%. I don't remember anymore. But I leave it at that. Now, of course, other things you can do with the same serial trigger is you could have another character string, for example, bedroom speakers on. And bedroom speakers on means a relay. So that means you have to program in your Simple Windows, when I receive a string from serial port number 1 and that string says bedroom speakers on, I had to turn relay number 3 on. Or, in some cases, it could be a toggle. I could say bedroom speakers. If it was on, it'll turn them off. If it was off, it'll turn them on, and whatnot. And I think I'm going to finish this this thing, and there's really no good place, I guess, to finish this first installment. If there's enough interest, perhaps we could do some more, and we could go really deeper into this thing. But really what you have with Simple Windows, it's as if you were sitting in front of a circuit board design center. So you can have analog to digital, digital to analog, serial to digital, serial to analog, digital to serial. It's amazing. You have a lot of functions you could think of in terms of chips and integrated circuits. You know those things we blind guys are having, most of us anyways, myself included, a very, very hard time to cope with, and I've actually abandoned. I know some guys can do it, but I'd rather play with the software that can do all this. So in Simple Windows, you have stuff called symbols, and the symbol is, for example, a JK flip-flop, a D flip-flop, an analog-to-serial converter, a one-shot. You know, a one-shot is, for example, if I push a switch for a quarter of a second, I want the signal to remain on for 3 seconds. That's a one-shot. And that makes a logic. Basically, you're connecting wires, and those wires are called signals. So, for example, if I have a toggle symbol, when I need to have serial to digital conversion. So I receive the serial string from my Aegis alarm system, and it says bedroom speakers. So my serial to digital converter within my Crestron sees that, and it says, oh, okay, I just received something. Now I got to turn on a digital signal. And that digital signal is called bedroom speakers. Now, fine. Now, this is kind of an output signal, right? So the output signals, you connect it to the input signal of your toggle. They call it the clock, right? So by clocking, that means by raising the voltage on the signal or the logical level of the signal, you raise it high, and then, and they, in Crestron terminology, they call it assert or deassert. So assert turns it on, deassert turns it off. So you assert the signal, and the output of that toggle goes to the input of my relay for my speakers. So when I receive bedroom speakers, it turns on a digital output, which in turn excites the clock of my toggle, which in turn sends a positive high to my relays, which in the end activates the bedroom speakers. That's it for now. I know I wasn't comprehensive. I cannot be in such a short amount of time. Feel free to send me some comments, some questions, some feedback if it interests you. And of course, this automation thing can be very involving, as you can see. I just wanted to give you a simple example at the end, just to give you an idea of what simple Windows was like. But obviously, it could be very complex. I have, I think, 750 signals in my project right now that controls all sorts of weirdnesses. Anyways, I hope I wasn't too boring. I hope you were a little bit interested by this. And as I say, email your comments at jc.provost. That's P-R-O-V as in Victor, O-S as in Sam, T as in Tango, jc.provost@sympatico, S-Y-M-P-A-T-I-C-O.ca. Thank you for listening.